Okay, we're in trouble. Written by Suzuki Blue. Read by Opal Song. Fandom: Avatar the Last Airbender. Pairing: Zuko Sokka Jet. Rating: Explicit. Warnings for involuntary bondage, consent issues, and unsafe sex. Also tagged for sex pollen, taking one for the team, hate sex, dirty talk, threesome, and not as dark as the tags make it seem.
Love is a burning flame, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire, went down, down, down.
Okay, we're in trouble, Sokka manages as the solid metal cell door locks shut. Although he doesn't know why he just said we, considering who it is he's in trouble with. Although he is totally yelling at Aang for this later, because this is clearly what he gets for letting him bounce them all the way around the world in circles. Like what? They didn't have enough trouble the last time they came this way? After this, they are going straight to the damn North Pole. No detours, no giant fish, no nothing. No shit, Water Tribe, Jet growls. And Zuko doesn't make any sound at all. Or even open his eyes. His body is radiating so much heat, he doesn't have to, though. From that alone, Sokka feels like he's in a sweatbox. And the fact that he's stuck pinned against Jet as he tries to keep from brushing Zuko's brand-hot skin, and the likely even hotter shackles holding the other's wrists behind his back, isn't making him much more comfortable. More comfortable than he'd be pinning himself against a chained-up and pissed-off Zuko, at least. And Jet doesn't seem to blame him for wanting to keep away from the steaming firebender. He seems to be trying to keep off the wall himself, and Sokka doesn't even want to know how hot the floor of this stupid metal box is going to get if this keeps up. It's a good thing his boots are thick, but Jet's aren't. They're thin slippers with some kind of rough tread at the toe, and a slick heel, designed for leaping up trees and skating swift and graceful across forest mast. And Sokka shouldn't be concerned about the guy, he knows. But he's kind of low on allies here, and if Jet's feet get too burnt to fight, on their chances of getting the fuck out, thank you, go down by, like, a million. He's the one who knows this forest. Seriously, though, Sokka is really affronted about this getting mistaken for a terrorist thing. The Earth Kingdom soldiers who captured him with Jet and tossed him in here with Zuko seem to think they're all in cahoots. Though he has no idea where the idiots got the idea. Also, he really wants out of his shirt, because an underlayer meant for Arctic winter does not belong in a tiny, too cramped sweat lodge. At least the soldiers stripped off Zuko and Jet's armor before they locked them up. Well, Jet's he could deal with. But Sokka would not want to be stuffed in here with a fully armored and spiky Zuko. Especially not, again, with the damn sweat box going on. Well, what the hell? He decides finally. He's not chained up, And neither's Jet, since apparently non-benders just aren't scary enough to waste the cuffs on. Which means there's nothing keeping him dressed except himself. Normally he'd be annoyed at being dismissed like that, but right now he cares way more about any form of relief he can get from the insufferable heat. And loosens his belt, so he can pull his shirt loose too, shrugging it off his arms and leaving the fabric tangled around his waist. I'm going to melt! Forget that! I'm going to broil! These soldiers are totally going to open this cell tonight and find our succulent corpses all baked in our own juices, he complains loudly, because there's nothing else to do. And only doesn't strip off his gloves with the shirt, because if they do get a chance to escape, he isn't going to want palms too slick with sweat to hold a weapon. He holds his necklace away from his throat for a moment, though, because it makes it a little easier to breathe. And then, belatedly, he realizes that Zuko's eyes are finally open, and the other is watching him. Not glancingly, not out of the corner of his eye, he's staring. He's staring like Sokka is the last stewed sea prune in the communal bowl, or the fattest chunk of meat on the platter. Like a polar bear dog at a being-skinned fresh kill. Like a damn starving man who hasn't seen food or water for weeks. That's new. He starts in confused alarm, and Zuko lunges for him with a look like he's never seen on the other's face. And there is something so not right in the fact that it's Jet that saves his ass then. But he does, snapping his arms out past Sokka to slam his forearm across Zuko's throat and press his other hand into his pulse. There is a knife Sokka didn't know he had in it, a thing so small that the blade can't be bigger than his thumb. But it doesn't even take a blade half that length to slice a throat, and Zuko freezes stock still with it pressed against his jugular. Still, though, he's practically leaning into it, breath coming out steam and eyes vicious and molten and something else that doesn't make sense, and not leaving Sokka. Some part of Sokka wonders why Jet doesn't just slice, knowing Jet, and then remembers all those Fire Nation soldiers that the other wouldn't kill face to face, but was fine with drowning from a mile back. He thinks, "You have never killed before," and crushes the realization, even as he sees it reflected in Zuko's eyes. Jet's grip on the knife says, "Maybe, yeah, but it wouldn't take much of a slip to change that." "Okay," Sokka says slowly, and decides it'd be best to urge Zuko back nice and gently, before poor him in the middle ends up with either blood or burns all over. He lifts his hands and plants them firmly on the other's shoulders, meaning to do just that, but is immediately startled out of it because Zuko... he... what the fuck? He moans. Sokka blinks and forgets to drop his hands, and Jet makes a bemused noise behind him. And Zuko? He shudders and recoils violently against the opposite wall, hunching in on himself and squeezing his eyes back shut. Yeah, so, speaking of new, that's super new. "Man, are you okay?" Sokka asks in bemusement, which is maybe a slightly stupid question, because it's pretty obvious those soldiers worked Zuko over a lot harder than they did him or Jet, even with as lippy as Jet was, and as lippy as he himself naturally is. But man, he's never seen the guy look like this. Zuko's face is flushed, his skin is slick with sweat that's more than soaked through his clothes, and his eyes are flickering fever dream fast behind his eyelids, like maybe he's delirious. But if he is delirious, then he's the weirdest brand of it Sokka's ever heard of. Because the only thing the guys reacted to since they've been dumped in here was him taking off his shirt. Shut up, peasant, Zuko grunts, and winces without opening his eyes, as if something's just hurt him. You want to see what a peasant can do, firebender? Jet threatens, shoving around Sokka's side to glare down at him, and bringing the knife back up. It's weird, Sokka observes absently, but Zuko's shorter than Jet. A little broader, but a lot shorter. Not very good for the big, scary Fire Nation rep, their prince going around being smaller than Earth Kingdom terrorists. And Sokka looks them both up and down with a puzzled expression, trying to figure out if it's an optical illusion or something. He stops, and blinks, and tips his head to the side to get a better view of Zuko. Okay, he's got to be imagining that. And he's jumped to some pretty out there conclusions before, really. But this one? Takes the cake, the tray, the table, and the whole friggin' bakery. He doesn't even want to know what scary, scary part of his subconscious thought it up. But the thing is, it really does look like Zuko's... This is so stupid, Jet hisses, when Zuko doesn't give him a response, glaring all the darker at him. How the fuck they even thought we had anything to do with you? I told them. What? I told them that my contacts were a pair of mouthy water tribe peasants, Zuko repeats coolly, eyes still closed. As if Jet isn't still holding a freaking knife on him and looking, well, like Jet about it. You bastard! Sokka half shrieks, and does not at all admire the crazy brilliance of the plan. Zuko's an impulsive moron, but he's also way too good at finding the capture the Avatar angle in any given situation. The guy is shackled up in an Earth Kingdom prison cart in the middle of friggin' nowhere, has obviously been worked over about 6 times already, and still the first place his brain went in the middle of being interrogated by hardened enemy soldiers was, how can I use this situation to fuck up the 12-year-old? Well, that level of crazed tenacity helps explain how the guy keeps tracking them over open water, at least. Sokka's kind of been wondering about that one. Fucking firebender! Jet snarls, eyes wide with anger, and immediately giving Sokka bigger concerns. That blade is way too close to Zuko's throat, and, let's be honest, he really doesn't want to deal with the shitstorm that would lie inherent in being in the same prison cell as a dead Fire Nation prince. There's just no way that situation would end well. And in the same way, he doesn't totally trust the idea of a Jet who's just killed up close and personal either. At least, he wouldn't want to be alone with him in a locked cage. Calm down, Jet! Look, between the three of us, we've got an Avatar, a Waterbender, a whole friggin' forest worth of Freedom Fighters, and an entire Fire Navy ship. I'm pretty sure somebody's going to think to come and rescue us. Sokka says quickly, yanking Jet's arm back. Zuko hisses at the loss of contact, but in a weird way, he doesn't know quite how to classify. Right. We'd really get rescued by the Fire Nation, Jet sneers. And Sokka has to admit he has a point. Specifically, the really, really sharp one on that little knife. Fine, but we're Aang bait, so at least they won't kill us before he finds us, he says practically, which he knows is true of himself, and hopes would be the truth in Jet's case. If he avoids the topic of why Jet sucks for as long as possible, He'll seem like better bait, and less of a not-worth-the-trouble pain in the ass, at least. He really doesn't want to have to explain a dead jet to his sister, any more than he wants to have to explain a dead Zuko to the Fire Nation. Possibly even less. Because the worst the Fire Nation can do is kill him. Katara might cry. Or worse, wear that hard expression she never used to have and refuse to. I'm not going to wait around on a 2 out of 3 chance, Jet says derisively, thumbing the back of his blade with a narrow-eyed expression. I don't care what the odds are. When those people have a chance to fuck somebody else up, they always show.
Yeah, you've got a point, Sokka admits gloomily,
but snaps out of it quickly, because agreeing with Jet is never a good idea. But if you want to break out, stop messing with Zuko, because we're going to need him.
Need him?
Jet snarls, whirling on him with the knife, flying back up. Sokka thinks he's forgotten he's holding it, but that's kind of worse. Excuse me, can you fight off half a squad with just that little pig sticker? He demands, internally panicking in the usual, oh god, don't let the crazy bastard kill me, way. It's getting a little too familiar. No? Didn't think so. Me neither. The angry jerk's the only one in here who doesn't need to be armed. If we can get the chains off him, or at least...
Let the damn firebender go?
Jet barks, eyes blazing as he slams Sokka up against the wall.
It's not going to work,
Zuko cuts in, before Sokka can logic it out for him, past the shiny new possible concussion. Head bowed low, and body still pressed back tight against the opposite wall, and as good as clinging to it. Probably just as well, Sokka figures. Jet's not that logical, except when he's way too logical.
I can't firebend.
What the hell are you talking about? You're putting off heat like a boiler!
Jet snaps disbelievingly, glaring at him. Sokka frowns. Because while he knows Zuko can firebend, he also knows the guy isn't that great at the sneaky moves, and he doesn't really sound like he's lying. He wouldn't sound so stressed and tired and defeated if he were.
What's wrong?
He asks, carefully pushing Jet enough to the side to get a clear view of Zuko again. Zuko's lip curls in something that's a little like a smirk, but much more like an expression of defeat.
My concentration's a little under the weather, he says, and says it like he's making a joke,
and even smirks again like he's making a joke. But at the same time, he sounds so tired and... Okay, Sokka's mental vocabulary previously did not allow room for this word in conjunction with anyone Fire Nation... But Zuko sounds ashamed.
Like, what, exactly? He knows it's not over getting them arrested or the trap he set for Aang, obviously. So what the heck else is...
Firebending doesn't work too well when the bender is aroused.
Sokka blinks, slowly. And cocks his head to one side, and thinks, for a moment, past the sound of Jet choking, that actually, that's a relief, because it means he's not the deviant who was imagining that a firebender was hard. The firebender's the deviant who was watching him take his clothes off. Crap.
Ah!
Sokka sort of says. Sort of shrieks, and he's never gotten his shirt back on so fast in his life.
You stay the hell over on that side, dammit! There is now a line in the box, and there will be no crossing of the line. You got that, jerkbender?
As if it's because of you, peasant. You think I put off this much heat all the time? They drugged me. I'm trying to burn it out.
Zuko retorts with a snarling, humorless smile, tipping his neck to bear the wound of a thick needle mark that Sokka hadn't noticed before amidst all the bruises. He seriously, seriously has to wonder what kind of questioning technique they... Apparently their idiot medic is new. He was supposed to mix up a truth serum.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a little less horrifying, at least.
No, actually, still horrifying. Oh, spirits. He's trapped in a box with a crazy terrorist and a horny firebender. A horny firebender who is currently their only hope and can't firebend. Can't firebend because he's too horny. Someday, Sokka wants an answer on why the universe hates him so much.
This is the most disgusting moment of my life, Jet says, face twisting in revulsion as he rakes his hair out of his eyes. Like clearing up his vision will make this whole weird and freaky nasty thing make more sense.
Your life? I'm the one he wants to rape!
Sokka squawks in protest as he presses back tighter against the wall and decides he'll just stay over here now, no matter how hot the metal gets. He's a warrior. He can take it. Really. Well, that's what he thinks, until suddenly the whole box goes just about Nova.
You think I want to feel like this?
Zuko snarls, eyes snapping open and head snapping up and... Oh, wow. There's a bad guy who woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
How dare you?
Zuko, ow! Sokka yelps, recoiling from the blaze of the wall, and clutching his burnt arms, and really, really grateful he'd pulled the shirt up.
Keep it down, you're gonna kill us!
I told you, I can't help it! Zuko shouts back at him angrily, and the air goes up about another 10 degrees, and the metal about another 20, and Jet curses and leaps up like the floor's burned him, and knocks both himself and Sokka into the walls, and that definitely burns. Ow, 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 ow! Sokka hates saving the world.
I'm sorry,
he blurts immediately, trying to shove himself back to his feet, and yelping every time his bare arms brush against something metal, and not helped by the fact that Jet's got the same problem, but worse, because his clothes aren't so thick.
Crap, ow, I know you're not that much of an asshole, okay? I'm just a little freaked out here.
The metal flares hot, and Jet yells something unholy sounding. But then all the heat vanishes inside an instant, and suddenly it's so cold that it almost burns that way instead. Sokka lets out a shuddering sigh of relief, pressing one of his burned shoulders into the wall and dropping his head against it. Okay, so the angry jerk's at least a little placatable. Good to know. Shit, though. Are they in trouble? Okay, he mutters. Plan time. He's the man with the plan. He's good at these. No weapons, chains, drugged firebender, no Aang.
They're fucked! They're so fucked. They're so fucked they might as well...
Oh, wait. He blinks again, brain running away with itself and ignoring Jet and Zuko both. They're arguing, or at least yelling at each other, and the metal's started to heat up again. No weapons, which means that whatever he and Jet do to get out of this cell itself is going to be directly related to getting Zuko in a state to get them out. Chains, which means Zuko can only maybe use half his firebending moves. Drugged firebender, which means Zuko can't use any of his firebending moves. No Aang, which means they really do have to help the angry jerk before they're going to get anywhere with this. And they're metaphorically fucked. But if they get literal about things... Okay, the drug's not burning out, right? He interrupts as he starts feeling the cell out,
looking for the weak points with his narrow eyes and questing fingers. Like, A for effort and all, but it's still just as bad as it was?
Worse, Zuko bites off sharply, which Sokka likes to hear because that's good for his theory.
Also, well, no lost love for Zuko, so it's not like he's going to feel sorry for the guy.
Gotcha. All right. Jet, heads, I win. Tails, you lose, Sokka announces with a self-satisfied grin, taking the knife off the other and flipping it up into the air.
Wait, lose what? Jet demands. But the knife's already hitting the floor anyway. Handle first.
Tails, congratulations. You two have fun,
Sokka says blithely, turning his back on the pair of them and covering his ears.
Just tap me on the shoulder when you're done, okay?
Fun? Jet chokes, the rage that's been buoying him so far drowned out by shock. And Zuko makes a strangled noise that was probably supposed to be a moan before he realized he was making it. Anyway, it sounds horrible, whatever it is.
Well, at least they both got what he meant on the first try.
Okay, fine, it doesn't have to be fun, but if we want a functional firebender, we are going to have to get him undistracted. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to wait for however long it takes weird mismixed Earth Kingdom aphrodisiacs to wear off, Sokka says firmly, still not looking back at the other two.
La la la, it's only gay if you make eye contact. La la la.
It's not like he's got a free hand to do the job himself.
I don't want a functional firebender, Jet barks, still sounding horrified. Sure as hell not enough to fuck one.
You're always so dramatic. Just jerk him off quick and he'll be fine, Sokka says in exasperation, rolling his eyes. Clearly, Jet's brain is not capable of half measures. Anyway, I'm pretty sure fucking riled him up too much and cook all three of us.
You are not touching me with those filthy peasant hands of yours, Zuko hisses.
Which is maybe the most useful thing he could have said in this situation. Well, useful for Sokka's purposes anyway, which are the only ones he cares about.
You wanna see filthy firebender? Jet bites off.
And Sokka glances around behind himself like the moron he is, just in time to see Jet grab Zuko's crotch through his pants. Which is really pretty traumatizing. But not nearly as traumatizing as the way Zuko bucks into the grip and keens.
Keep it down, he hisses, lunging across the space between them to slap a hand over Zuko's mouth.
Which is a terrible idea, and he really, really should have remembered that whole breath of fire thing before he went and did it. But Zuko doesn't burn his fingers off. He just moans like he's never been touched in his life, and melts back against the wall. Seriously, Sokka is not okay with being the one who has the placating effect on the firebender. Not at all is he okay with that. Also, his filthy peasant chest was good enough for Zuko to eat up with his eyes, so he doesn't get why the guy was even complaining anyway.
Did I mention how disgusting this was yet?
Jet mutters with a revolted grimace, then glares over at Sokka, even as he drops his hand away from Zuko's cock to brace against the wall and pushes a thigh between his legs instead. Zuko's eyes roll back in his head at the pressure, which Sokka finds both very disturbing and very distracting.
Don't think I didn't notice that heads I win, tails you lose crap either, Water Tribe.
Whatever. Are you even doing any of the work? Sokka demands. Because Jet's clearly not. He's just leaned in close and left his thigh there for Zuko to hump. Which would probably work out better if Zuko weren't so damn prideful that he's tensed all up again. And, well, not humping. Friggin', why do these guys have to make everything so difficult? What? They want to go to the nearest Earth Kingdom prison for the rest of their stupid lives? That sounds like fun somehow.
The Firebender can do it himself. I'm not touching him one damn bit more than I have to.
Jet growls, then hisses in pain as the metal heats up again. He doesn't take his hand off the wall, though, like it's some kind of challenge.
Speaking as the biggest macho idiot currently trying to save the world, you're both macho idiots.
Sokka retorts dubiously, just eyeing the other. He lets go of Zuko's mouth and tries to figure out the best way to not have to jerk off the enemy himself, and decides that actually, Jet doesn't have the worst idea here. It's just getting Zuko to go along with it that's not going to be quite as easy. Seriously, getting off is such an imposition? Well, damn. He is a whole lot better at keeping Zuko calm than Jet is, so... Zuko, come on, Sokka says carefully, resting a hand on the other's chest and making note of the way he shudders at the touch, even with the shirt in the way. I know it's, like, supremely awkward, but believe me, once we're out of here, we'll all happily forget it ever happened, and never, ever speak of this again. Ever. Including under torture. No, Zuko says thinly, eyes screwed shut so tight he must be seeing stars. And Jet just snorts in irritation and pushes his thigh up harder. Zuko chokes on another keening sound, and Sokka only doesn't slap a hand over his mouth because he's trying to get him to loosen up, and that'd be a little counterproductive. He'd rather risk getting heard than deal with the stalemate for another 10 minutes. Also, he's feeling a little weird about this, since they're basically molesting the guy. He's sure Zuko would have been a lot happier watching Katara take her shirt off. Wait a second. What the hell kind of aphrodisiac messes with... Holy shit, you're gay! He blurts unthinkingly, and Zuko's eyes snap open, and the metal and his breath broil. Fuck! Jet yells, ripping his hand off the wall and recoiling. And Sokka does the same about Zuko's chest, and Zuko radiates hate, hate, loathing as heat, his teeth bared and eyes fire bright, and... So, bye then? Sokka asks feebly, clutching his scorched hand to his chest, and Zuko looks at him like fiery death, and then just... deflates again. Like there's nowhere for it to go. It occurs to Sokka that there isn't, unless Zuko likes the idea of sitting here with a pair of carbonized corpses, which, thankfully, it seems he doesn't. Just stop talking, the other rasps quietly, lowering his head in that defeated way again. Sokka's starting to hate that look. It makes him feel almost sorry for the guy. Only almost, though. No more freaking burning us every 10 seconds, then, okay? He says firmly, stepping back in, but not touching him just yet. Zuko nods once, shortly, then tips his head back and takes a long, slow breath that sucks all the heat out of the walls again. Sokka seriously doubts it'll last, but he's not going to complain about the respite. Man, though, does Jet look pissed. I have done some really messed up things for the war effort, but this? Jet cuts himself off like he can't even finish the thought, shaking his head. But at the same time, he steps back in too, and slides up against Zuko and slips his thigh back between his legs. Zuko doesn't even make a sound this time, but the shiver goes all the way up his spine. He's still stiff, though. Stiff and holding back. And Sokka really did mean it about wanting out of the stalemate. So he reaches out and hooks a hand around the back of Zuko's neck to stroke. Carefully. Kind of like how his dad used to calm down the polar bear dogs when they were injured and needed to stay still for medical attention. Zuko melts against the wall again, with a little whine, just like one of the dogs would have, ducking his head to hide his throat
and not looking at either of them. Sokka does his damnedest to keep thinking of the guy like a dog, and pets the side of his throat, down from the naked scalp, behind his ear, to just the edge of his collarbone. Zuko shifts against the wall, shifts into the stroking, and finally, finally, shifts down against Jet's thigh, too. And whatever dirty-looking thing he does then, hell, Sokka can't even name it. He didn't even know a spine could move like that. Undulates. That's a good word for it. Zuko undulates down against Jet's thigh and pushes into Sokka's petting and bites his lip and flushes like he's not basically evil incarnate Junior. Like he's actually just normal and hot and stuck in a crappy situation same as them. Well, same as Sokka. Because one Jet is enough for any war. But either way, still so far from that sharp armor and angry face, as he crumples against the wall, already gasping and grinding harder with his hips. Jet looks angrier and presses in closer, and Sokka doesn't know how he looks, but figures he should keep up the petting and puts a hand on Zuko's chest to smooth across it. Zuko moans a little, and even pushes into the touch, head knocking back against the wall. And Jet really just looks even angrier. Sokka has got to figure out what that's about. Hopefully before it fucks them over. The big concern remains Zuko, however. So Sokka keeps his attention on him, and keeps petting and stroking, and Zuko goes liquider and liquider under his hands, and his eyes drift back shut, and his hips roll down slow and hard, and Jet's face twists again, like who knows what, and then... Whoa! Sokka yelps, when Jet shoves a hand into Zuko's pants, although it's pretty much drowned out by the cry of relief that cracks out of Zuko's mouth. And Sokka wonders exactly how long the guy was left to stew in here like this anyway, considering he's actually let them touch him without more than token protests. Crap, what an unlucky bastard. Well, now Sokka knows whose life he would have had if he'd been born in the Fire Nation. If I'm going to do this, you're sure as shit going to look at me for it, Jet growls, voice low and ugly, and eyes flashing hot with hate. Don't you dare try and act like we're anyone else. Actually, you know, I would be okay with that, Sokka puts in quickly, because he really doesn't want to imagine Zuko thinking dirty thoughts about him. Oh, ever again after this is over. The staring was bad enough, and frankly, he was relieved when the guy stopped looking at them. Jet is kind of fucking the plan here. No, Jet snaps, teeth bared and his own eyes never leaving Zuko's face. I'm not fire. I won't let the bastard even fucking pretend it. Zuko looks back at him, somehow glaring despite the flushed face and hard arousal in every line of his posture. And 2 seconds after that, Sokka is so glad he took the knife off Jet. Oh, Kuzon, Zuko moans, without ever breaking eye contact, and thrusts into Jet's hand. Sokka did not realize firebenders were so suicidal before this. Far less surprising, though, is how hard it is to hold Jet back. The other moves like murder, and with those long arms and legs of his, Sokka has to pin him all the way to the opposite side of the cell. And even then, still his fingertips are only a hand's breadth from Zuko's throat. Maybe not even that. Jet's bigger than him, but not much stronger. And Sokka spares a moment to be grateful for how much work Jet lets momentum and his hook swords do for him, because the guy is just no good in a tight spot. Not useless, not by far, but the only thing he knows how to use like this is brute strength, and they're closely enough matched there that Sokka can just about hold him off. At least, can hold him off for the moment. He's not sure how the endurance test is going to play out here.
And Zuko's laughing. The asshole. It's a mean, nasty laugh, like a spoiled little kid who just got his way. And on principle, Sokka would really like to smack it out of his mouth. But then he'd basically be letting Jet kill him, and he still doesn't want to be left alone with a just-killed-someone Jet. Especially not when he's done it with his bare hands. Really bad idea. "Zuko, you dick!" he yells at the other over Jet's incoherent snarls and roars, and braces himself against the cell floor to surge his weight back against Jet and force him tighter against the wall. Jet's head hits hard, and he falters for a second. But not hard enough, because he's clawing at Sokka's flash-burnt arms just a second later, and spirits does that sting. If he thought Jet'd stop, he'd just let him kick Zuko around a minute. But he knows better than to think that. Oh, this really can't end well. Come to think of it, where has he heard the name Kuzan before anyway? The slip in concentration lets Jet charge into him, nearly knock him off his feet. But by some miracle or mercy, Sokka gets his hands against the walls and manages to stop him, then gets his feet back under himself enough to slam him back again. Still, he's going to be feeling that tomorrow, and probably for the rest of the week. "Jet, I'm not letting you kill him," he barks sharply. "The guy's a pain in the ass, but he doesn't deserve, well, maybe he deserves it, but the hell if you're doing it while he can't fight back." "They don't care if you can fight back. Why the hell should I?" Jet shouts, eyes wide and angry, as he lunges forward against Sokka and takes another swipe that falls just short of Zuko's neck. "Because you're not them," Sokka shouts back, and Jet stiffens, and then stills and doesn't exactly retreat or relax, but stops fighting him. Sokka keeps a grip on him just to be sure, and watches his face suspiciously. He doesn't know Jet well enough to know if that really worked or not, but at least it seems to have calmed him down a little. "Fine," Jet says, slowly, and his mouth curves into a smirk that Sokka really doesn't like the look of. "What are you?" he starts suspiciously. And then Jet's arms are winding around him, and he's palming his cock, and the answer becomes pretty obvious. "What the hell?" he shrieks, immediately trying to shove the other off. But when he's not fueling himself on just raw anger, Jet's apparently a lot better with those lanky limbs of his, and not so easy to escape himself. "Jet!" "Come on, Sokka. He deserves this, at least, right?" Jet breathes against his ear, hot and heavy and all grin as clever fingers try to slip under his tunic in search of his waistband. Sokka more or less heads them off, but that doesn't make Jet loosen his grip on him, or keep him from sticking his tongue into his ear, or keep Zuko from making an enraged, metal-heating noise behind them. "Make him suffer a little while his blood's all up, huh?"
"Hell no! Are you nuts?" Sokka protests,
and the walls drop in temperature again. And again, he doesn't understand how he keeps placating Zuko. Probably he doesn't want to, though, so it's just as well.
"Come on, Sokka,"
Jet wheedles, in that same tone that's conned him into doing things he didn't want to do before. And Sokka glares at him, and is about to snap another denial when he feels he can't be imagining it, because it's something he never would have imagined. Same as the telltale bump in Zuko's pants. Jet's fingers are trembling against the small of his back, just barely, and in the back of his eyes there is something just a little too desperate, and Jet hates the Fire Nation. With everything he is, everything he's ever been, he hates the Fire Nation. And not a moment ago, he was jacking one of their soldiers off and got played by him. That might not be good for him. "Damn it," Sokka hisses, because Crazy Jet is not a problem he can afford to have right now. Then pushes the other back against the wall again and crushes their lips together. He'll let Jet piss off Zuko enough to feel like he's got some power back, and then they're getting back down to business. But Katara is definitely never finding out about this. He will take this to his grave, and if Jet and Zuko don't do the same, then he'll personally deliver them to their own.
"Knew I could count on you, man," Jet says, as he wraps his hands around Sokka's hips with an easy smirk, like this is one of his bullshit missions. And maybe to him it is, and maybe it's best that Sokka let him keep thinking like that. So he just scowls up at the other and grabs his hips in return, and rubs into them, and attempts to think sexy thoughts for just the moment. The MILFs back home, the Kyoshi warriors, Suki's soft lips and graceful form, Jet's long fingers and triumphant smirk. Wrong thoughts! Sufficiently effective ones, though, because he has to bite back a soft groan against the other's shoulder on their next grind together. "Peasants!" Zuko snarls, hisses, spits past them. And Sokka's heard a lot of resentment in that voice, but this right here's gotta be at least top three. "What? You're gonna be a jackass? We're gonna be jackasses too," he says, turning his head to scowl at the other, and jumping a little when Jet takes his bared neck as an invitation for licking. He really isn't feeling this, but Jet needs a little placating too, so he'll let him have it. "Seriously, did you guys learn nothing in, like, the past 100 years? "Plenty about how easy it is to take down the Southern Water Tribe," Zuko snaps, eyes flashing with anger and sparks licking at the back of his teeth. "You really, really shouldn't have said that," Sokka says quietly, feeling something in himself ice over. And Zuko looks so angry, angry and wounded and struggling to keep himself together. And he's so proud he'll never beg, never try to push into anything. He'll just stand there and stew and stew and suffer. He's too proud, even for the Fire Nation. "Idiot." Sokka turns back to Jet, shutting Zuko out of the world and roughly catching the other's mouth, and the surprised noise he makes with his own, putting all his own anger into that, because really, he knows better than to put it into Zuko. He'll burn it out like this, and burn Jets out with it, and then they'll take care of Zuko and get the hell out of here, and hopefully not all kill each other in the process. "Sokka,"
Jet starts, even as he returns the kiss, surprise and nasty glee in his tone, and those long arms and hands clutching everywhere. And Sokka shuts him up with his tongue, because everyone's pissed off enough as it is without any more chatter. It's the chatter that keeps getting them into trouble here. There's a furious hiss from Zuko, a sound of rattling chains. But Sokka was right, and he doesn't come closer. All that shame and honor keeping him pinned against the wall, better than any Earth Kingdom steel ever could. Which is kind of hot, actually. As long as he's going to be doing a bunch of gay shit like this, Sokka decides it's okay to revel in that thought. To push his hands up Jet's sides, and push into his hands, and the kiss, and think about what Zuko must look like, standing in arm's reach away, painfully hard and achingly frustrated, and unable to touch. It's a nice thought. Makes him feel better about a lot of really annoying things, and a few just hateful ones. And Jet's hair is really good for fisting his hands in, too.
"Sokka," Jet purrs, his voice this raspy, throaty thing that actually makes Sokka's dick twitch as the other pushes him towards the wall.
He pushes back, and that fast they're grappling with each other's clothes, like it's some kind of weird race to see who can get whose shirt off first. Jet wins, but only because his shirt's so damn much more complicated. With the ends of his short sleeves all tucked into the arm wraps, and on top of that he's wearing two of them! Sokka gets him out of the things in the end, and gets to hear a barely stifled whimper from Zuko when he does, which is really all that matters. Jet purrs again when Sokka pushes his hands up the small of his back, louder, and Sokka pauses, and then goes the rest of the way up his spine testingly. Jet goes like jelly for just an instant, and then he's clinging, hooking a leg around Sokka's like he can't decide if he's trying to trip him up or hold him closer. Sokka, personally, stops being sure if they're making out or wrestling, or who the hell knows what else. But since their hips never break contact, except to grind back harder, he can't really complain. Also, Jet keeps purring, and that's... spirits. That's really, really hot. All those semi-constant little thrumming noises that he would pay such good money to feel thrum around his dick. "Suck me," he pants, without thinking about it, shoving down on the other's shoulders. "Fuck me," Jet counters, surging back against him and grinning like he's holding a knife in his teeth. And Sokka really can't argue with the superiority of that idea. Can argue even less when Jet winds around him vice-tight and kisses him harder, and Zuko slams something against the wall for what Sokka can only assume is the distraction of the pain, and the combination of all those things makes his dick throb hard enough that he forgets to breathe. He doesn't forget to get Jet's pants shoved down, though, and Jet grins something vicious as he turns his back to him, and kicks them and his shoes off to stand naked in the cell, except for the wraps around his arms and calves, hands braced against the edge of the low ceiling. The walls heat again, and Sokka can't help but think that Jet really does see everything as a fight. Well, so does Zuko, so he supposes that means it is one. But shit if there aren't better things to think about, with Jet standing there bare and waiting, and how good he looks like that. Sokka manages, trying not to completely fumble everything ever. And Jet smirks back over his shoulder at him, and shit, the line of his spine as it shifts and the trail of it bisecting the curve of his ribcage and running down to his sharp, skinny hips, that... "You know how to do it, right?" Jet asks, smirk widening, and Sokka flushes in embarrassment, and scowls and pressed up against his back again, wrapping an arm around his stomach to hold them together tight. Zuko is silent, and he doesn't look to see why. "Yes, I know! Jeez!" Sokka complains, because sometimes you spend long enough on the hunt with only the other men for company, and he was told, as part of normal discussions about what to expect when the time came for him to hunt himself, that sometimes a brother might seek relief in another brother, and how to provide him that relief if he chose to. But, of course, when Sokka went out for the hunt himself, the men had all been gone, and he had always been alone. He could use the regret and anger and loneliness in those memories to fuel this, to make it cold and sharp and all about making Zuko suffer. But the pressure of Jet's skin against his own means he doesn't need to. It feels too damn good for him to need to bother. So why should he, when it feels better to just feel how Jet feels? Anyway, Sokka's okay with cold and sharp, but he never wants to be the kind of person who picks it over hot and soft. Because of that, he keeps ignoring Zuko, and pushes his lips into the back of Jet's neck, and his fingers against the other's mouth, and Jet grins again, before he takes them in and proves that his tongue is exactly as clever as his talk makes it seem. It's wet and quick and doesn't hesitate, and Sokka bites down at the slick speed of it, and rolls his hips against Jet's ass, cock nestled tight in the cleft of it, and Jet makes that purring noise again and rubs back against him.
"Damn," he says with a sharp smile, as Sokka reclaims his fingers, rubbing back harder as he speaks. "You Water Tribe boys are really hung." There's a choked noise from Zuko, and some part of him hits the metal again, but Sokka keeps ignoring him to push a finger into Jet, and feels the way the other clenches around it, and, even better, the way he relaxes and lets it in deeper. He thrusts slowly and curls it seekingly, flashing back to that long-ago talk, and three tries later, Jet's purr is wild, and his hands drag down the wall. Jet is really, really easy to fuck, which is useful, seeing as Sokka's never done it before. And because Jet is so pleased and purring and wanting and anything but tense or nervous, Sokka's scissoring two fingers inside of him before he even has time to worry if he's doing it right. The encouraging way Jet moans at the attention and curls his fingers against the wall definitely helps, too. Helps a lot, actually.
"Nice fingers, too," Jet drawls languidly, sounding so pleased and satisfied and actually moving his hips back against Sokka's fingers and, wow, the sight of that's really killing him. The feel of that. Okay, he can't think about that, because it really will kill him, and then he won't get off.
"You're so tight," Sokka marvels disbelievingly, pushing his mouth into the back of the other's neck again. If he didn't know better, he'd think he couldn't fit. Jet hisses in pain as the walls flash hot again, then chuckles low in his throat, and slides his feet farther apart.
"Hurry up. I want you in," he purrs in a killing voice,
and Sokka's fingers slip and thrust just a little harder than he means for them to, and Jet goes up on the balls of his feet with a sharp groan.
"Okay," he pants hoarsely, forehead hitting the wall and fingers splaying. "Now I really mean it."
Well, he's sure as hell not going to say no.
"Turn around," Sokka says quickly, as he pulls his fingers out of the other. And Jet laughs again and does, shoulders falling back against the wall, and eyes hot and heavy-lidded, and cock so unabashedly hard and spirits he looks good. Wow. Okay. Sokka is minding the gay shit less now. A lot less than he was with Zuko. But of course, while Jet may be a crazy fucked-up bastard, he's also still not Fire Nation, and that's probably got something to do with it. Also, hot. Hot and fiercely willing, and suddenly he's understanding why Katara was so into the guy. "Seriously, you were not this good-looking last time," Sokka accuses, as he yanks open his pants, spits into his palm, and slicks his dick, even as he glowers at the other. And Jet just laughs louder and wags his eyebrows at him, winding his arms around his neck and hooking a leg around his waist.
"Maybe you just weren't paying attention," he teases, smirking razor sharp, and somehow that smirk isn't so irritating or suspicious seeming right now. Later, Sokka's sure he'll want to knock it off his face again, but right now, it's just sexy. Which is a really weird, but really true thought.
"Hell if I wasn't," he says, and means to say more, but he's clearly insane to mean that, because he's in the middle of guiding his cock into Jet, and pushing even a little into him blows every word he's ever had out of his head. Well, almost every word.
"Oh, shit. Oh, Sokka," Jet purrs, and hitches his leg up higher, braces his heel against one wall, and leans back heavier against the other, as he wraps his other leg tight around Sokka's waist, and pulls, and Sokka slides into him on a hard jerk that steals both their breaths, and he's never, never, never felt anything so good, ever. Fuck.
Jet's so hot and tight, tight, tight inside, like nothing Sokka can even begin to think of, and he's gripping the other's hips and thrusting quick and hard, without a moment's hesitation, and Jet moans and clutches him everywhere, and he's such an easy fuck, so good and easy to move in, and it's like they've done this 100 times already. Every thrust he makes, Jet's already meeting. Every shift in angle that Jet tries, Sokka's already adjusting for. It should be awkward, but it's not at all. Sokka doesn't know if anything physical has ever been so easy for him, actually. Or maybe it's just that it feels so good that it feels easy. He doesn't know, but whatever the reason, it is. And he doesn't even care that he's fucking his virginity into an extremist lunatic, or that he's doing it in front of... Oh right, Zuko's still here. At the thought, Sokka glances towards him automatically, breathless and distracted and with nothing more in mind than to remind himself of the other's presence. But of course, he should have known better. Zuko makes everything complicated. Shit, he says. Eyes widening and hips stuttering on his next thrust. Jet moans his disappointment, moving back harder against him. But Sokka is so startled he doesn't match it. So startled, he nearly drops the other altogether. Not that there isn't plenty damn reason to be startled. Because Zuko's mouth is bleeding from how hard he's biting his tongue. And by bleeding, Sokka means bleeding. There is red painted in broad streaks down over his chin and throat, and down into the fabric of his shirt, and down farther still, staining his chest in sluggish drips and fat drops. He's hunched down in the corner, face pale and every inch of his body rigor mortis rigid and trembling and eyes locked on them, too wide and too gold and too devastated. He looks like he's about to die. Shit, Sokka says again. And Jet looks too, but he doesn't curse. He just smirks and winds his arms tighter around Sokka's neck and clenches around his cock in that entirely destroying way. Come on, Sokka, don't stop. Fuck me, he croons. And Sokka's arousal is thinking a lot more clearly than his head is. So he does, jerks his hips harder into the other and pins him back against the wall as he wraps a hand around his cock. Even though his eyes can't quite leave Zuko, that expression, it's... Shit. He can't feel guilty about doing something bad to Zuko. He thinks he does, though. But it's hard to think, really, because Jet still feels so good, and still moves just right with him, moaning. And when Jet comes, spirits. When he comes, he groans and arches and clutches. And that makes Sokka forget about Zuko again, makes his eyes snap back to the other just in time to see him slip down against the wall, limp and shuddering. Jet's bracing grips on the sides of the cell give out, and suddenly all his weight is in Sokka's arms, and coming down on his dick. He barely has to thrust twice after that before he's coming too, and it blinds him, and he doesn't know what he says, really, only that it tears its way out of his throat like a starving animal. They don't exactly collapse, then, but they sag together into the wall, and Jet's fingers lace together at the back of Sokka's neck, and he kisses him, hard, purring again. Vaguely, as he returns the kiss, and kind of relishes the tingling, oversensitive feeling in his skin, it occurs to Sokka that he's never seen the other look so damn pleased about anything, including beating down that entire Fire Nation squad without a single injury to his freedom fighters. Shit, though. He hardly blames him. That was... hell. What can he even call that? Fuck, that was good. Jet pants against his shoulder breathlessly, still shuddering and digging those long, long fingers of his into Sokka's back. Sokka nods in dazed agreement, pressing his mouth into the other's temple and closing his eyes on a long, slow shudder of his own. Even always knowing sex would be, the reality is a little much to process just yet. Later, when he has time to work it all out, slow, and decide what he really thinks, past his first impulse responses of, "Yay!" and "More!" Then he'll do his processing. Spirits. He feels so good. So weak and tired and right and fuck. Sokka's eyes snap back to Zuko like lightning strikes hitting the ground as he remembers the other's existence. And if it's possible, the other looks even more wrecked than just a minute ago. It was just a minute, right? It can't have been much longer, he's sure. Just a minute, or maybe two, and... Spirits! Zuko looks so bad. His eyes are glazed, and he looks even dizzier than Sokka feels. And he's got some kind of fever, or isn't there at all. And he should have known. He should have... The walls went cold. He should have known something was wrong. But of course he hadn't cared. Sokka curses his own stupidity, pulling out of Jet awkwardly and shivering once when the other moans like it's such a regret that he has to. Then, pausing to make sure that Jet's got his legs back under himself, before stepping back from him and trying to get his own legs to stay steady. It works. Almost. But not very well. Well enough to let him step, all clumsy and heavy and half-dressed, sticky, towards Zuko's crouched, crushed form, at least. Although, with no idea what to do or say about it. Jet kind of takes over there, though. Which is exactly as bad an idea as it sounds like. "Lick his dick clean and we'll get you off," Jet purrs down at Zuko raspily, draping his arms long and lazy over Sokka's neck as he leans against him from behind, eyes sparkling with malicious pleasure. Sokka automatically opens his mouth to protest, horrified. "I just fucked you up the ass!" But Zuko's already jerking onto his knees, like something just broke in him, and jerking in with his mouth open. Sokka grabs the other's ponytail without even thinking about it, yanking him back maybe too hard, but... "No!" he says, quick and sharp, and Zuko grits his teeth and snaps his eyes shut and whimpers, and Jet grins, fierce and wild, against Sokka's shoulder at the sound of it. But Sokka isn't okay with this anymore. He doesn't care if Zuko's the enemy. That doesn't mean it's all right for the Earth Kingdom to fuck him up and drug him, or for the two of them to mock him like this, about something he can't even help, and then force him to do anything like that on top of it. Not all at once, anyway. And at this point, he's not even sure Zuko can think coherently enough to form an opinion, much less refuse anything they tell him to do. Fuck. He should have known. Things always go too far with Jet. "Please," Zuko says weakly, voice just barely breaking. And Sokka winces, and Jet thrums with pleasure. And this really, really, really isn't okay anymore. No matter what Zuko said to start it. Shit, Sokka can't stand to be left blue-balled for 5 minutes, and that's under normal, no freaky drugs circumstances. The way Zuko looks? Shit. "Just hang on, okay?" Sokka mutters, as he shrugs Jet off his back roughly, then ducks down and drags the heel of his glove across Zuko's mouth and jaw to wipe the blood away. It's automatic, more or less, and he's not gentle about it, but he's not harsh either. Even if this was okay, even if it all balances out somewhere against what Zuko's done and not done, it's not who he wants to be. He should have known better the moment he thought that he was never letting Katara find out about this. "What the hell are you doing, Sokka?" Jet asks, not sounding quite as pleased anymore. And Zuko makes a cracked little noise in the back of his throat as Sokka gets the last of the blood off his lips with his thumb. "We went too far," Sokka says evenly, cupping Zuko's face with his palm and trying to get a clearer look at his eyes. He doesn't like that glazed quality to them. Zuko balks at the contact, just barely, and then trembles underneath his fingers, lips pressed together in a tight white line like he's afraid to say anything else. And there's just something so wrong in that. Worse than wrong. What the hell did those soldiers give him? "He's Fire Nation, Sokka. There's no going too far." Jet snorts, unconvinced, and Sokka glares at him, because he doesn't know why, really. Maybe because Jet's an ass, and it's easier to admit he was one too, knowing that. Maybe it's because it's easier to see the Fire Nation are at least a little human too, when Jet's around, to remind him that not everyone in the Earth Kingdom has innocent people's best interests at heart. "We need him," Sokka retorts sharply, and then feels guiltier, because even now, all some part of him can think about is how best to snap Zuko out of this for long enough to get them the hell out of here. Shit, he's such a dick. "Zuko," he says, and makes his voice go gentle as he smooths his fingers over the other's scalp to soothe the earlier yank to his hair. Zuko's eyes shift towards his, and almost focus, but don't quite manage to do it. "Zuko, I'm going to touch you now, okay?" "What the hell do you think I'm waiting for?" Zuko hisses very, very quietly, eyes just barely flickering with anger again, as they finally sharpen and shoulders tensing, and Sokka can't help the relief at hearing that familiar, hateful tone from him. He doesn't care what Jet thinks. There's always a too far, and he doesn't want to go there. "I don't know. The usual," he pretends to guess, as he works the other's pants open and tugs them down just enough to free his straining erection, trying not to wince again at the sight of it, too dark and too hard and, yeah, definitely painful looking. Zuko hisses again, incoherently this time, and knocks his head back as his hips jerk up, just once, into empty air. Sokka's less concerned about keeping his hands the hell off the firebender this time, and wraps his hands around the other's cock immediately to squeeze. The noise Zuko makes is not a good one. "Crap. Hurts," Zuko manages thinly, head slamming back harder against the cell wall, and eyes rolling in his head as he gasps for breath. His hips move into the contact anyway, though, despite what he says, and despite the war between pleasure and pain on his face. "It should," Jet retorts, cold and irritating, as he cleans himself up, or at least gets his pants mostly back on. Sokka just sighs, gentles his grip on Zuko, and spits into his palm again, to make the slide of it easier. They definitely took it too far, if Zuko can hardly stand to be touched, even needing it so much. "Shut up, Jet. We've messed with him enough, okay?" he says quietly. "We're never getting out of here if you keep that shit up." Jet makes an angry noise, and Zuko sort of moans and sort of whimpers, and really, this is so... "Do you want to get back to your freedom fighters or not?" "Spirits, damn, you're an idiot. Soft fucking touch." Jet growls, and suddenly he's hitting his knees beside Sokka and leaning in to pet mockingly along Zuko's scalp. "Good firebender. Hurry up and come so we can get the fuck out of this shithole and never have to see your ugly face again." Zuko growls back, his eyes flashing again and teeth snapping, narrowly missing Jet's wrist as the other jerks it back with a smug smirk. Get away from me," Zuko snarls unevenly, and Jet smirks wider, and Sokka glares at both of them, squeezing Zuko's cock a little harder to redirect his attention.
Both of you, shut up! I am so not in the mood for any more of your crap right now, he snaps at them. How the hell any of this has anything at all to do with saving the world? Man, Aang owes him. Aang owes him so hard. Aang owes him unto his next 5 reincarnations, is how much Aang owes him. No, fuck that. Next 10. You chill out. You either do something actually useful or stay out of the way, he orders Zuko and Jet respectively, punctuating the statement with a shove to Jet's shoulder and a quick jerk to Zuko's cock, one hard enough to make the other curse in pain. Damn it! Fucking pent-up oversensitive. But it's his own damn fault, and now he has to deal with it. Reap what you sow and all that farmery crap. Sorry, he mutters, aware that he could sound more apologetic, but cranky enough as it is, and figuring that it's better to put the effort into stroking Zuko more carefully instead. It's fine, just don't stop! Zuko bites off, hips pushing up into Sokka's hand, and clearly the whole world has gone crazy, because the guy just let something go. That's actually even weirder than when he was checking him out, honestly. You were pissing me off, Jet says tersely, and Sokka startles slightly as the other pushes up against him, dragging the tie out of his hair and biting up his throat sharply, demanding who knows what, seeing as they both just came. Maybe just the attention? Maybe this is a challenge to him, too. That seems like a Jet kind of thing to think. When do I not piss you off? He asks in exasperation, and Jet pauses, and then laughs against his throat. Good point, he says, curling an arm around Sokka's stomach and flicking his tongue across the corner of his jaw. Zuko makes this weird hitched noise, and Sokka realizes that the other's staring again. At both of them this time. And a little less creepily now that his cock's getting some attention. Or as much less creepily as the idea of Zuko watching him make out can possibly be, Sokka figures. He remembers the way Jet's fingers trembled before, though, and tips his head for the other to give him better access to his neck, pushing his thumb over the head of Zuko's cock and across the slit. Jet purrs and Zuko moans, his eyes never leaving Sokka's throat and Jet's tongue. Well, nice to know that if the guy didn't have voyeuristic tendencies before, they've probably warped him for life. Not exactly the kind of sweeping victory against the Fire Nation Sokka was looking for there, but whatever, he'll take it. Holy shit, though. Is it a pain to strike a balance between these two bastards? Harder, Zuko grunts after a moment, pushing his hips up sharper against Sokka's strokes and wincing a little. Differently, though. And this time, Sokka's pretty sure he can blame the way the other's arms are crushed behind his back for it. Thank fuck. But either way, it's still awkward to find a rhythm and nothing like as easy as it was with Jet. Jet knows how to work with someone, how to make room for and adjust for. But Zuko's only ever worked against people. You could at least ask nicer, Sokka mutters, tightening his grip anyway and dragging Precum down the other's shaft with his thumb. Zuko squirms, eyes rolling back into his head for a moment, but almost immediately snapping back to them as Jet drags his lips across Sokka's jaw and catches his mouth. Zuko, Sokka thinks distractedly past the kiss, looks like he's hungry. No, he looks hungry too, but underneath that, he looks something else. And the walls start to heat up again. For a second, Sokka hesitates, thinking he's wrong. But he hasn't been wrong about what either Jet or Zuko needs yet. He's just been wrong about how he balances it. So he presses deeper into the kiss as he twists his hand around Zuko's cock, licks into Jet's mouth carefully. And that's easy, too. Even angry at him, Jet's still so easy to move with. And then breaks it off,
He takes longer than he needs to about it, steals a few more nips and licks before he pulls back. But in the end, he kills the kiss and turns to Zuko instead, stroking him faster and leaning in. As soon as Zuko realizes what he's about to do, he jerks his head to the side, so Sokka's mouth lands on his jaw instead of his lips. But of course, then Jet thinks he doesn't want it, and he's there, catching them instead, sharp and brutal. The moment their mouths collide, Zuko comes viciously hard, jackknifing his hips into Sokka's fist and crying out, sharp and, Sokka tries not to think it, sharp and sweet, into Jet's kiss. All wrong and so right, and he keeps working Zuko through his orgasm until the other collapses into them in a heavy, panting sprawl, his hair somehow getting everywhere, even bound back so tight like that. Sokka breathes, because he can't concentrate enough for anything else, and twitches when Zuko moans against his shoulder, hot enough to sting. Specifically, his cock twitches. Sokka's not really sure if it's the moan he should blame, or the fact that Zuko's still mostly hard between his cum-sticky fingers. But really, it could just be both, or the sight of the back of the other's neck, or his weight against him, or none of those things at all. Shit, Jet mutters, as he pulls away, to sit back on his haunches. Zuko starts to shift after him, looking dazed, but snaps out of it immediately. Or sort of snaps out of it. He ends up leaning all his weight into Sokka instead, face buried in his shoulder and still breathing ragged and soft against it. Which Sokka is not so sure he's okay with or not. But then again, he's still not sure if he's okay with the fact Zuko just came all over his hand either.
For the record, Sokka, this kind of thing never happened before I met you guys.
It's happened more than once? Sokka asks, kind of laughing and kind of feeling hysterical and kind of wanting to curl his fingers around Zuko's dick again and give it another tug. He settles for just not moving them away from it. And, okay, he's not nuzzling Prince Angry Jerk. He's just resting his mouth against his temple. Mostly.
Once is enough, Jet retorts, scowling at both of them.
He's close enough that his sharp, bony knee is still pressing into the side of Sokka's thigh, but no closer than that. And he looks thin without his armor, almost as bad as Zuko. They're both bigger than Sokka, but they're not as much bigger as their armor always made it look.
Keep it down, Zuko mumbles raspily.
He sounds sated and sleepy, which is a really strange way for the enemy to sound. And Sokka wraps his free arm around him without really thinking it through, and runs a hand down to the cuffs holding his wrists together. The skin there is bruised and just barely bloody, and there's no give in the things at all. Zuko wouldn't be able to get his hands in front of himself if their necks depended on it, much less use them for anything. They didn't shackle his legs, though, and he can still heat his skin as hot as he wants to, and breathe fire, so he's still plenty dangerous enough to give them at least half a chance of getting out of here. As soon as he recovers, they... Zuko groans quietly, and it takes Sokka a second to figure out that it's his fault. His knuckles have been absent-mindedly dragging across the other's cock the entire time he's been thinking. Jet immediately shoots him an accusing look, eyes narrowed.
What are you doing?
He demands irritably. He's still hard. I don't know if it was enough, Sokka's mouth justifies quickly, and Jet scowls again and shoves at Zuko's shoulder as he pushes in close to the two of them again.
Fucking firebenders,
he says sourly, glaring down at Zuko's cock and Sokka's slow stroking knuckles, like the combination is a personal affront. To him, it probably is.
Are you all such whores?
Yes,
Zuko pants, which is about the last answer Sokka would have expected. Then again, most firebenders? Really not so great at the impulse control, From what he's seen, Zhang Zhang was sure as crap useless at it. The guy had to go off and hermitize himself to deal with his fire. And he's one of the great masters. So maybe it's not so weird that they might have a problem with that kind of thing. And Zuko's not exactly in any condition to phrase it any prettier than that. Or maybe he just said it because he knew it'd piss Jet off.
Fine then, we'll get you enough, Jet sneers, glare going dark and twisted again, for just a second,
and Sokka thinks he feels a tremble pass through the shoulder the other has pressed against his, but it's gone too fast for him to be sure.
Jet, he says warningly,
and the other pauses, and his expression doesn't soften, not in any way, but at least it turns more neutral.
I'll do it nice, Jet says brusquely, without looking at him as he yanks Zuko's bloodstained shirt up and over his head, shoving it down his arms to tangle against the cuffs.
And Zuko sort of snarls at him and sort of helps him do it, and sort of falls apart when Sokka's free hand reaches out and pushes up his bare stomach.
Damn, you really are a whore.
Tip, Jet? That? Not all that nice, Sokka points out, shooting the other a dubious look. He slips a finger up over Zuko's cock, other hand absently tracing the muscles of his abdomen, feeling his own stomach clench hot at the sight of them so obsessively sculpted, the same way all of the other is.
Bastard's perfect, except for that scar. Zuko must do nothing else on that stupid ship of his but train and think up ways to get his hands on Aang.
Which is a creepier thought now that he knows the guy is into guys, come to think of it.
Do either of you ever shut up? Zuko demands roughly,
clearly unable to decide which one of them he should be glaring at. Jet makes the decision for him by being Jet, which is a habit Sokka is really wishing the guy could break.
I can shut you up, Jet threatens.
He cups his cock to make the point, and Sokka does not imagine feeling Zuko's twitch beneath his fingers at the sight.
If you want to lose it, the other shoots back with a snarl, baring his teeth.
That's even less nice, Sokka protests, but at the same time, he takes the more efficient route by wrapping his fingers around Zuko's cock again and pulling with a long, slow stroke that gets Zuko to break off the argument, gets him curling into him with a low moan. And, for some reason, only then does it occur to Sokka that sex is definitely about to happen. Re-happen. Happen involving Zuko. Like it wasn't obvious even before Jet said anything. Like it wasn't obvious about the moment Sokka kept touching the bastard instead of letting him recover? Well, apparently it wasn't.
Whatever, Jet says, glowering, and starts yanking Zuko's pants down.
Sokka gets a certain uneasy feeling, and has it confirmed when Jet sucks three fingers into his own mouth. Zuko immediately balks, going tense all over, and recoiling back towards the wall so fast Sokka loses his grip on his cock.
No, he says roughly.
Jet just smirks around his fingers, then withdraws him from his mouth to wag tauntingly at Zuko. Sokka suddenly sees the attraction in voyeurism, and also the inherent doom in his situation.
What, Firebender? You scared?
Jet asks mockingly, and Zuko's eyes flash as he leans forward on his knees and snorts steam, and suddenly that everything is a challenge issue is rearing its ugly head again. Except, this time, it's really fucking hot. Really, really fucking hot. Because Zuko lifts his chin and glares at Jet, and spreads his thighs like it's nothing, and, oh spirits, really hot. Did Sokka say that yet?
Ugh.
He should stop them. Definitely. But it's really hot.
I'm not, Zuko says, cold and flat,
and Jet smirks and drops his hand between the other's legs to jab one of those long, strong fingers up into him. Zuko hisses through his teeth, instinctively trying to jerk back from the too rough intrusion. And Sokka's brain kind of dies, pretty much. All gone. No more Sokka brain. Bye-bye, Sokka brain. See you in the North Pole, or maybe sometime after Sozin's Comet.
Don't be an ass, Jet, he manages to get out, petting the small of Zuko's back soothingly in an attempt to get him to relax and try to convince himself to distract them from this bad, bad, terrible idea. Getting fucked is about the least Zuko-friendly activity that he can think of. The guy's always so tense and defensive and prideful, and the idea of him calming down enough to get anything but injured out of it is just about laughable. He should really stop them. But he doesn't. Because it's keeping Jet calm to manipulate Zuko like this, and it'll be getting Zuko off at the same time. And really, it's not like this whole thing was ever going to be all sunshine and rose daisies. As long as he makes sure Jet isn't a complete asshole about it, it'll be fine. And it'll be something he doesn't have to balance himself, which Sokka is all fine and good with at this point. Because, wow, is he already so over that. He'll be perfectly happy to jack himself off and call it a day if these two can just not kill each other for long enough to both come.
I won't. I said I'd be nice. Jet purrs derisively, pressing in close and worming in a second finger into Zuko in a way that makes the other grimace. He'll never have a nicer fuck with that face of his.
Not you, Zuko rasps, as he shakes his head once, hard, and then jerks it at Sokka.
Him.
Jet blinks, and Sokka kind of stares, probably, and for the life of him, can't figure out why Zuko wants... Well, aside from the fact that he's the one who actually got the guy off, and Jet was the one who started the whole making him just watch thing, plus he's much less actively hostile, and hasn't insulted his looks or pulled a weapon on him yet today. Okay, so it makes perfect sense that if Zuko's going to let himself get fucked, he'd want the guy who'll at least give him a reach around to be the one doing it. But somehow, hearing him say it out loud is still kind of strange.
Who's he kidding? It's so far past strange, it's coming back the other way. His enemy. This tenacious bastard whose father and grandfather and great-grandfather have cumulatively devastated his people. This tenacious bastard who's hunting down the last hope the world has left for the express purpose of destroying it. His enemy just asked him to fuck him.
Sokka is pretty sure this is not standard operating procedure. He manages, eventually. And Jet glowers for a long moment, but then seems to realize something, and grins instead. That one that makes it look like he's got a knife in his teeth.
Ooh, greedy boy. You really think you can handle all that?
He inquires deceptively mildly, as he shoves another finger into Zuko, making him hiss again. And that's when Sokka realizes that, hey, his dick is significantly bigger than Jet's, isn't it? Somehow, size comparison didn't seem so important when he was grinding their hips together, and obviously he hasn't had much else cause to think about their cocks in each other's personal space. But looking at them now, he's a little longer and a lot thicker. Judging from the way Zuko just barely blanches, he wasn't thinking about the size difference either. But he's Zuko, of course, so he just grits his teeth and lifts his jaw in that too proud way he has, and says, yes. Some part of Sokka thinks, this can't end well. But there's that bigger part that really, really wants to get off again, and just as much can't help the completely, foolishly male pleasure at being the preferred choice, even if it's Zuko's preferred choice. He's being... Jet's laugh is nasty enough that he should know better, but... Shit, Zuko says he can take it. The guy's a damn soldier. Of course he can take it. What else is he supposed to do but give it to him?
Well, if you're sure...
Jet says, smirking as he pulls his fingers out of the other and pushes him backwards to straddle Sokka's lap on his knees. Zuko stiffens, moves awkwardly and jerky and not particularly willingly, but he moves. The sight of his tense, naked spine and the brush of the inside of his thighs against the outside of Sokka's is really, really distracting. Oh, spirits! Really distracting in a way Sokka might never, ever, ever be able to forget for the whole long rest of his life. Ever. Ever. Well, crap. This is going to put a kink in their next fight. Oh, spirits, not like that! Maybe this is not the best idea, Sokka attempts weakly. But then Jet's stupid, clever, slick-spit fingers are around his cock and guiding it against Zuko's and, He's not sure there's a coherent thought somewhere in his head. It's just drowning under how hot Zuko's hole is against the head of his dick. And oh sweet, merciful spirits, this proves Jet is evil. Somehow. Whatever the town thing didn't prove, this does, he decides. But decides it from about a million miles away, because all 98% of his brain and body cares about is grabbing Zuko's hips and pulling him down onto his cock. Zuko makes a hard, strangled noise as the tip pushes into him, starting to jerk back up immediately. Except Jet catches his thighs and leans in heavy and holds him there, and says, smirking, "Backing out already, Firebender?" In another situation, Sokka would intervene, except Zuko's even tighter than Jet was, and he's pretty sure if he tries to talk, he'll spontaneously combust. Definitely sure. So instead of cooler heads prevailing, that idiot Zuko narrows his eyes and grits his teeth, and then sits down hard. Stars explode behind Sokka's eyes, and he curses up some damn kind of storm, and Zuko cries out sharply in pain, and Jet leans in even heavier on his thighs to keep him there, hurt him or force him to handle it, or Sokka really doesn't know. Shit, oh shit, Zuko's tight. Tight and so, so hot inside, and spasming around him as he fights to push him out, push himself back up. But Jet's just strong enough to prevent it, and the hands Sokka can't get to let go of the other's hips might kind of be helping with said prevention. He's not sure. Newbie, Jet says, smirking, and shoves his hands hard up Zuko's thighs. Relax, or it'll keep hurting. Then again, never mind. Don't relax. I want to see you cry. Fuck you, Zuko hisses lowly, teeth sparking, and Jet just laughs. Nah, I had my turn, he drawls, smoothing his hands back down the other's thighs and giving them a condescending squeeze. Come on, Firebender. Tell us how good that fat Water Tribe cock feels up your ass. You want it deeper, right? Want his cum all up inside you? Zuko blanches in disgust, and Sokka just presses his forehead hard into the back of the other's shoulder and wraps his arms around his stomach as tight as he can without crushing Zuko's own restrained ones. Trying to breathe, to stay still, to keep himself under control. Jet was different. Jet was so relaxed and easy-moving that he could fuck him straight off. But Zuko's nothing like that. Right now, he's so tight, Sokka doesn't even think he could fuck him without hurting them both. His cock, however, is refusing to agree with this analysis and wants to get down to the shit already.
Watch your mouth, peasant, Zuko growls, as proud and icy as if he isn't sitting on anyone's cock.
and Sokka bites down on the back of his shoulder to keep himself from losing it. That harsh, frayed edge to the other's voice, the cold way he talks, despite it, shouldn't be hot. It really shouldn't. But spirits, it really is. Fuck, if Zuko could just... Zuko? Shit. Relax. He gasps brokenly, digging his fingers in on the other's stomach. I need to move. I'm relaxed. Zuko snarls back at him, painfully obviously anything but. And Jet laughs, sharp and nasty, and leans even heavier on his thighs. Zuko slips a little lower around Sokka's cock and chokes. And Sokka groans and thrusts his hips up without meaning to, and it's hot, tight, perfect, right up until the first cry of pain breaks out of Zuko's throat. And even then, even with Zuko trying to fight free from between them, it takes Sokka a moment too long to force himself to stop. Sorry, I'm sorry, fuck, 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 Zuko! He pants against the other's shoulder heavily, squeezing his eyes shut and trying to feel sick over this, but really not able to. Shit, shit, he should have stopped them. Relax, please relax. Aw, poor baby. Does it hurt? Jet purrs, nuzzling Zuko's scarred cheek mockingly, following when the other grits his teeth and jerks his head away. Don't be like that, sweet thing. From this side, I can almost stand to look at you. Jet! Sokka hisses warningly, pressing his forehead harder into Zuko's back, as he feels the other tense even more around him, and shit, it's too much to stand, so much so that he's trembling, and it's all he can do to just hold on. What? Jet asks, giving him that blank, where do you get these ideas? Face. He always wears when someone's catching on. Sokka just bares his teeth, internally cursing himself. He's such an idiot. This was a trap. Jet wants him to hurt Zuko. And hell, Zuko's not exactly hard to wind up. He'll make it easy. He'll let Jet keep baiting him into more than he wants to do, into hurting himself. And seriously, when and how did Sokka become anyone's idea of the voice of reason? Stop it, he says shortly, as he fists Zuko's cock. Only after he's already done it does it occur to him how weird it is that half an hour ago he would have sooner touched any other part of the guy, and yet right now it seems perfectly natural to do. It is, though, because just a few quick twists of his wrist gets Zuko groaning and Jet glaring, and then he can almost stand it. Soft, Jet growls again, digging his nails into Zuko's thighs and dragging them down as he glowers at Sokka. He looks pissed again, but since he's pretty much looked that way every second he wasn't actively manipulating anyone, Sokka figures he can deal with it. I was hard enough for you a minute ago, he shoots back, glaring at Jet and tightening his grip on Zuko. They need the guy. Fucking him up is not going to help them get out of here. And besides that, he doesn't care what Jet wants. He's not crossing that line between far enough and too far again. A minute ago, you were keeping your mouth shut, Jet retorts flatly, lip curling in disgust. Just shut up, Zuko moans at them, pushing up into Sokka's hand. It's the part where he sinks back down that gets Sokka's attention, though. And he buries a deeper moan of his own in the other's shoulder as he fights down the immediate need to fuck. Jet just growls and rakes his nails down his thighs again, hard enough to leave thin, white lines in the skin. And Sokka rolls his hips up, awkwardly, testingly. Zuko moans again, louder, and tries to move back against him. Fails. Miserably fails. But at least tries. And Sokka figures that's enough of a go-ahead to settle his hands on the other's hips and guide him into a counter-rhythm. Like that, he murmurs lowly against Zuko's shoulder, and the bastard stiffens again. A little, but only for a moment, before he makes the attempt to follow. It's still too awkward, but it's at least a little better. The guy really is terrible at working with anyone else, and Sokka doesn't exactly have the experience to make up for it. Apparently, that's annoying, because a moment later Jet growls something incoherent, and then he's grabbing Sokka's hands, pressing them harder into Zuko's hips, and digging his fingers into the other's skin through the gaps in Sokka's. "Like this," he orders, and changes the angle and the rhythm both, and Sokka's automatically suspicious, but then his next thrust slides in so much deeper, and Zuko makes this shocked, wanting sound that kind of makes it hard to be as wary as he knows he should, and... "Sokka!" Zuko bursts out roughly on the next thrust, and even knowing that he's heard it at least half a dozen times today alone, Sokka's still surprised that the bastard knows his name. Not as surprised as he is by the way Jet's eyes gleam at the sound of it, though.
"Say it again,"
the other demands, expression as hot as if it were his own name and fingers. Shit, Sokka thinks his hands are going to bruise from how hard Jet's pinning them into Zuko's hips, how tight his fingers are digging in. He's always known what Jet was like. From the first moment they met, he sensed it in him. But sometimes he really can't understand the guy at all. Right now, he doesn't care to, though, because finally, finally, he can move, and now he doesn't think he can stop.
"Tell him how good he feels. Tell him how hard you want it."
"Sokka, harder!" Zuko bites off between thrusts, voice thin and hard as his head falls forward. His knees slide farther apart on the floor. He slides his knees farther apart on the floor to let Sokka in deeper. Oh, spirits, if anything's ever been hotter than that. And the way he moans when it works is going to be really, really hard to forget the next time they fight. As in, impossible. As in, oh fuck, Sokka's going to have to learn how to fight with a raging hard-on, or the world is doomed. Except right now, he really can't regret that.
"Good, Firebender," Jet breathes.
And this time, the way he strokes Zuko's thighs is at least almost gentle. Even if the look in his eyes is a little too dark, a little too intent, when it meets Zuko's glare.
"Just like that. Keep moving. Tell him again."
"Harder," Zuko groans. Louder this time, and even though Jet's coaxed him into doing most of the work himself now, Sokka puts in the effort anyway, tightening his grip on his hips to pull him down harder into each thrust. It's still not as easy as Jet. Probably it'd be impossible for Zuko to move as easy as Jet, but he still feels fever hot and tight, 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 and the thick flecks of muscle under his skin is something glorious to see, and even better to feel.
"Shit, you feel so good," Sokka gasps in a hard, cracked voice that cracks even worse on every drop of Zuko's hips and lift of his own.
"You're really... shit, Zuko. You're so hot inside. So hot. So tight. Don't stop."
"Don't say that,"
Zuko hisses, even as he's rolling his hips down harder, even as he's clenching around Sokka's cock, probably not on purposely so good.
"But you are, sweet thing," Jet purrs, sliding his hands up Zuko's stomach to tug sharply at his nipples.
The noise Zuko makes is somewhere between outraged and, "Oh fuck, do it again!" And when Jet does, he bites his tongue hard enough to start the bleeding back up.
"That tight little hole of yours was made for..."
"Shut up!" Zuko snaps, but it comes out mostly a moan, because he tries to say it as Sokka thrusts in.
"Oh!"
"Yeah," Jet says with a smirk, giving the other's nipples a hard twist. "See? Made for it. Bet you never felt anything as good in your life as that cock up so far inside you."
"Shut up!"
Zuko snarls again, hotly, pressing back harder into Sokka. And this time, his body temperature spikes with his anger, and Sokka yelps in shock. Except less the shock and more the, oh holy hell does it feel good wrapped around his dick. So good that his nails leave scratches on Zuko's hips, and he fucks up hard into him. Zuko starts cursing. Or maybe just trying to say his name again. Sokka grabs his cock and strokes down tight around it, and Zuko's head knocks back so hard it nearly hits him in the face.
Pretty.
Sokka thinks he hears Jet murmur, but it's so quiet and strange-sounding that he can't have. And maybe stranger than everything else on the long, long list of strange things that have happened today. He doesn't imagine the way the other presses up flush against Zuko, though, winding his arms tight around his neck and pushing their cocks together, and fucking up their rhythm something fierce. What he definitely says sounds much more like Jet.
If he comes first, Firebender, I'm going to fuck you till you really do cry.
He breathes, rubbing his cock against Zuko's and the back of Sokka's knuckles.
Be so good. You know how wet and stretched she's going to leave your whore ass? I could slide right in, easy as if you were a girl, soaking her panties at the sight of me.
I wouldn't let you if my honor depended on it, Zuko rasps, with a dark gold glare. And the walls flicker hot, and his body temperature rises with them, teeth baring and breath turning into steam, and somehow, even as he's burning up, his voice is like ice. Jet's eyes gleam with some threat or some challenge in response, and Sokka? Well, he goes with the best proven distraction available, and wraps his fingers around both their cocks and squeezes them against each other, because he is not having his sex interrupted by this bullshit. Zuko groans and Jet gasps, and both of them jerk into his grip and forget they were fighting. And Sokka takes grateful advantage to drag Zuko's hips back into a real rhythm against his own. Jet, again, is an easy fuck, because he catches that rhythm immediately and moves into it, finds a way to move with it even as he clings harder to Zuko, digs his fingers in against his scalp and rakes them across the back of his shoulders, and buries his mouth in his throat. It takes a moment or two of scrambling, and in the end, Sokka and Jet both need to keep a hand on Zuko's hips to keep him steady, but eventually it works, and it feels right, and despite the almost argument of a moment ago, no one's particularly angry about any of it, and so Sokka exhales quietly and concentrates on how damn good it feels to fuck deeper and deeper into Zuko, on stroking his and Jet's cocks together, and listening to the two of them moan. He bites down on the need to do the same, just to hear them, just to hear how good they sound, in groaning, almost unison, both fighting for breath and friction and more of him and each other. It's really satisfying, he thinks, but doesn't get to think much more than that, because Zuko's suddenly moving sharp and desperate between them, and making hard, pleading, perfect sounds. And with that, all Sokka cares about is watching him come. Which he does with a low, harsh cry, his orgasm fast and messy as he seizes up around Sokka's cock and spills cum all over Jet's. He's not the best fuck, but he's a great show. And that, and the way he clenches and tenses, sends Sokka hurtling over the edge after him almost immediately, losing himself against Zuko's body and blanking out everything else. He comes back to himself a moment, or a minute, later, at the sound of a frustrated groan from Jet, and the pressure of the other's fingers re-wrapping his own around himself to thrust hard into the forced grip, his cock and Sokka's hand both still sticky slick with Zuko's cum. Zuko makes a heavy, tired noise, slumping forward to bury his forehead against Jet's shoulder, even as he watches tiredly. And Sokka manages to get his hand working well enough to move it around Jet himself, the other cursing. He thinks, at least. His tone makes it sound like he's cursing. Sokka can't quite grasp the words just yet, past the heavy thrum of pleasure still weighing him down. Even frustrated and needing and nearly clawing at them, Jet moves better than Sokka really thinks should be possible.
Jet, Zuko murmurs after a long moment, slowly and without lifting his head.
He sounds just as tired as Sokka, and like he's trying it out. Whatever he's trying for, it's effective, because the instant his name crosses Zuko's lips, Jet comes, crashing forward against both of them with a ragged gasp and clinging, wide-eyed and wanting, and wrecked all in a flash. And this time, Sokka doesn't have to worry about the reason behind his shaking. So that's good. Actually, what he mostly has to worry about is not getting crushed, because all of Jet's weight is bearing all of Zuko's down on him, and while between the two of them, it's the best way he's ever been smothered, he's still being smothered. Get off, he groans, although he can't quite muster the necessary annoyance to put any real force behind the words. Might not be able to ever again, with the way he feels right now, even pinned underneath the two.
Just did, Jet purrs heavily, without even pretending to make an attempt at moving.
Sokka could not have imagined a more agreeable afterglow for the guy than all draped up on a firebender. And yet, somehow he still manages to be an asshole about things. Go figure.
Pain in the ass, he mutters, and gives Jet a half-hearted shove.
Zuko gasps very quietly at the movement, and Jet just sniggers and gives Sokka a lazy, half-lidded look.
Pretty sure you're the pain in our asses, he tells him,
and Sokka buries his face in Zuko's shoulder with a resigned groan.
Don't even! I'm the meat and sarcasm guy, he retorts. You are the creepy charisma guy. Stick with what you know. I could say something about you being the meat guy, Jet starts with a grin, and Sokka just eyes him.
He's the only one who's going to be making bad jokes in the afterglow, thank you very much.
Seriously, man, I might not have the weird magic going for me, but push it and I will find a way to freeze you to a tree.
Kinky. Idiots, Zuko breathes, shifting in a way that has Jet sighing and Sokka muffling an entirely different kind of groan, and a tiny lick of flame rolls off his tongue. By the sight of the smirk he's wearing, Sokka gets the impression it's time to start pointing out those structurally vulnerable points he was scouting earlier. But then Jet growls a little at the sight of the fire, grabbing Zuko's face in his hands and ducking his head to bite accusingly at his mouth. And Zuko sneers in response, teeth just barely baring as he pushes into the knot kiss. Neither of them closes his eyes. Probably seeing that is what makes Sokka forget every single one of those vulnerable points. Yeah, well, not his fault if they're going to be like that. Anyway, he's almost positive that escaping can wait another 15 minutes. And if he can't, well, he'll just blame Jet and Zuko. Katara and Aang will buy that.
The end. No, really. It was all them.
The music used in this podfic is Ring of Fire, cover by Adam Lambert. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong, and from there you can find the link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!
Okay, We're in Trouble, sequel. Re-meeting at the Full Moon Bay.
Written by Suzuki Blue. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Avatar The Last Airbender. Pairing, Sokka, Jet, Zuko. Rating, teen.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
If Sokka hadn't already known the end of the world was potentially nigh, what with all of the time he's spent the past few months desperately trying to ward it off, Full Moon Bay would prove it. "Well, shit," he says, staring over Suki's shoulder, and she frowns in confusion and turns to see what he's looking at. That being, specifically, Prince Zuko, the jerkbender of the Jerk Nation, and of all people, that crazy bastard Jet, 30 feet away, in the crowd and 10 feet apart from each other, glaring at each other like they're about to start the next great battle of the war all by themselves. A couple of Jet's freedom fighters are behind him, but Sokka's more unsettled by the presence of Zuko's uncle. He and Zuko did a really, really good job of pretending that thing never happened the couple of times they saw each other after. But he's not very good at dealing with Iroh ever since his brain decided to start screaming, "I know your nephew likes it rough," every time the guy turned up. "What's wrong?" Suki starts, and then hisses through her teeth, in enraged disbelief as her eyes catch on Zuko. "That's kinda only half the problem," Sokka manages lamely, right before Katara gets over her shock beside him, and the contents of her water skin turn into icy daggers headed straight for Jet's lying face. The ensuing brawl, of course, ends up involving most of the group, and oh fuck, this is really, really not a problem they need when they've already annoyed the officials here once already. The moment Jet starts throwing threats and Zuko starts throwing fireballs, they're all getting held for questioning. And Appa might not have that kind of time. So really, it's not his fault he follows his first problem-solving impulse. Really. "Hey!" he snaps, grabbing Jet and Zuko both by the hair to yank them apart from each other and very firmly, not remembering how the pair of them looked trying to bite each other's mouths off back in a certain metal sex box, death box. He meant to think death box. "This looked like the place to throw down, you jerks. Do I have to friggin' separate you two assholes again?" "Get," Zuko starts, enraged, and Jet bares his teeth in something that looks like a grin, but definitely isn't, and starts to snarl. "Let." And Sokka, for lack of a better solution, bashes their heads together. "Shut up, both of you," he yells. And then, to Jet and Zuko, respectively, "You back off! You calm the hell down! I've got less time for this shit than last time, okay? I have had a really crappy month full of deserts and sandbenders and creepy spirits and crazy professors and cactus juice and a lot of walking. And I still have sand up my stupid pants. I am so not in the mood for the big fight scene, okay?" Then he realizes that he's holding two of the craziest, most obsessive bastards he's ever met in his life by the hair, while they're carrying four swords between them, and while yelling at them like they're the 5-year-olds he used to babysit back at the South Pole. Sokka wonders exactly how suicidal his brain is feeling today. On a scale of 1 to 10. 17, maybe? Yeah, that sounds about right. Shit. Dying is going to hurt so bad.
Jeez, you suck all the fun out of everything, Jet mutters, letting his swords drop to the floor and glowering at Zuko, who makes an irritated noise and lets his own drop too, glowering right back. Neither of them guts him. In fact, neither of them even looks like he's so much as considering it.
You have got to teach me how to do that, Aang says, staring in disbelief.
And Sokka turns bright red at the thought and decides, yeah, this is probably the most embarrassing success of his life, and also that he is never, ever teaching Aang any of it. Avatars and balance and diplomacy be damned. Although, it's nice to know he's apparently that good a lay, so maybe he'll at least teach Suki. The end.
The music used in this podfic is Ring of Fire, cover by Adam Lambert. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening! Okay, we're in trouble. Post-sequel snippet. Written by Suzuki Blue. Read by Opalsong. Fandom: Avatar The Last Airbender. Pairing: Zuko Jet Sokka. Rating: Teen.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
Sokka is pretty sure, and by pretty sure he means entirely positive, actually, that the only reason Zuko and Jet haven't killed each other is because they're both expecting orgasms out of him at some point in the semi-near, mostly immediate future, which is not on, as far as he's concerned. He has a girlfriend, damn it! Or, kind of. A little bit? Sort of. They're not locked in a big metal death box this time, is his point. Like, they're out and free, and the world is full of pretty girls. It's not like Suki's the only Kyoshi warrior in Full Moon Bay. Admittedly, the girls may be less friendly towards Zuko, but Jet's still got a shot, and there are plenty of refugees around on top of that. Therefore, there is no reason the two of them should be looking at him out of the corner of their eyes every chance they get. Seriously! Oh, spirits, why won't they stop doing that? Would you just leave me out of it and climb each other? He finally shrieks at them, throwing his arms in the air. Which is a totally fair protest to make, damn it! And besides that, Zuko's not chained up, and Jet's not being twitchy, so they're on basically equal grounds this time, and therefore not his problem. At all. Just, you know, his timing for speaking up could have been a little better.
So you don't want a second helping then? Katara asks, giving him a dubious look. everyone else is pretty much staring at him, except for Jet, who's wearing his bullshit innocent face, and Zuko, who's choking on his share of dinner. And one more person.
"I'll take it," Suki says mildly, and smirks.
And Sokka is officially not sure if he's delighted or horrified. The end.
The music used in this podfic is Ring of Fire, cover by Adam Lambert. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, and from there you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!